Welcome to the CRE Exchange Podcast, where we deep dive into the global trends and challenges of CRE professionals across all sectors of the commercial real estate industry. We engage with experts in the space to bring you innovative insights into industry practices, opportunities, and challenges to better inform your decisions. This episode is brought to you by Altus Group, a global leader in asset and fund intelligence for commercial real estate.
Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of the CRE Exchange. I'm Omar El-Tarai, your host and director of research at Altus Group, a leading provider of asset and fund intelligence. I'm super excited to say that we have a special guest on, Spencer Burton. Spencer is the co-founder and CEO of CRE Agents, a vertical AI agentic platform changing how work gets done in commercial real estate. With over 20 years of experience as a fiduciary, principal, and founder in real estate, he is a recognized expert in applying AI to CRE. Prior to his current venture, Spencer was president and founding team member of Stablewood, a multi-strategy institutional real estate investor, and is also the co-creator of Adventures in CRE, a leading platform for financial modeling, education, and application. A practitioner, innovator, and thought leader, Spencer's current mission is focused on giving professionals back their time by offloading repetitive tasks to AI. Spencer, thank you so much for being on the CRE Exchange.
Yeah, Omar, great to be here and looking forward to talking through any number of those topics.
We've gotten exposure to aspects of real estate that I think many folks rarely get, right? Whether it's doing real estate in multiple countries or looking at it from kind of the broker perspective, the investor perspective, getting into the individual operator or institutional operator. I think that really probably gives you a perspective that many don't have. And I guess honing in on the entrepreneurship and trying to focus on efficiencies, is that something that you think is just inherent? Was there a kind of early life component that contributed to you wanting to fix things? Or is that something that you just see as an opportunity for good business?
You know, that's a good question. I think back to my childhood, my favorite thing to do was play simulation games on the PC. How you win simulation games is you do things more efficiently. SimCity was one of my favorites, or Railroad Tycoon. They were like silly little things as a kid I'm playing, but as I think back now as a business professional, I think back, like what I found fun in those was how can I do something better, faster, more efficiently? That's how you win those sorts of games. So it starts there. And then I think about just micro moments in my career. So when I was an early land broker, I wanted to send letters to landowners and I wanted them to be handwritten. Now this would have been early 2000, right? So my automation solution was take a black Sharpie, write a letter in black Sharpie. And then when I Xeroxed, and I'm going to use that term intentionally, when I Xeroxed 100 copies because of the black Sharpie, they looked like they were all handwritten. And that was an automation, incredibly analog, but still a automation feature that allowed me to send out 1,000 letters a month rather than 100 handwritten letters a month, 10X myself in that regard, right? And I think a lot of us who have this mindset, we do that. It's like every single task I do is like, okay, is there a better way to do this task? And sometimes it bothers my coworkers because I'm constantly like retooling and rethinking about how I might do something. But that's just, it's like ingrained in what I do. And whether that's from playing simulation PC games as a kid, whether it comes through my DNA, I don't know what it is. But as I got older, I recognized the value of my time. And in the same way that the value of a dollar actually becomes less and less as you get older, the value of a minute becomes more and more valuable. And so like, how can I unlock minutes for people? And that's like my mission in life now. It's not just unlock minutes for myself, but how do I unlock minutes for others?
And that's become your full focus at CRE Agents. Can you speak a bit about the founding of CRE Agents and what CRE Agents does?
Sure. Yeah. So Glenn Lowenstein, he calls me up. I was in a very comfortable place at Northwestern Mutual. I'd just been tapped to open Mexico. I love Latin America. So I was doing these trips back and forth to Mexican markets, looking at dollar-denominated industrial leases and properties. Glenn calls, We spent an hour and a half, he and I, on that call. And what we talked about was how could you do the real estate process, sourcing, closing, managing, selling in the context of like an acquisition shop? How could you do that more efficiently? And he and I just like brainstormed on this call. I'd never met the guy. We brainstormed ways in which you could fully automate, so at least fully automate sourcing and closing. And that conversation was so invigorating that I left a place, people I incredibly admire. What I love about Northwestern Mutual is like no egos there. Arguably the best real estate investors in the world. And so I leave this very comfortable place working with people that I really admired to take on something that it was just inspiring for me. And it was like, how can we tackle this? So Stablewood, the whole point was, hey, let's invest institutional capital, so large pools of capital into sub-institutional property types. And some had done it before, single family being the most obvious example of that. But the only way you invest in sub-institutional assets with institutional capital, meaning at scale, is through some intense efficiencies. And so we went into a sector that hadn't seen quite the efficiencies, but had the opportunity to create efficiencies, and that was single tenant retail. And we partnered with a life insurance company, or the real estate investment arm of a life insurance company, to deploy institutional level capital into this sub-institutional property types. And we acquired over several years, 120 something assets. And the only way we could do that with a relatively small team was to build efficiencies. And so we built what now we coin a digital coworker, but in essence, digital entity that performed many of the repetitive tasks autonomously. For instance, anytime an OM came in the door, automatically underwritten. And when I say underwritten, I'm not just talking an Excel file. I mean hundreds of attributes that drive an investment decision automatically sourced and brought into an investment committee memo that in 15 seconds, a person then could review and say, yes, let's spend more time on this, or no, let's pass. To the point where now Stablewood does that 1,000 times a month. And when you do that sort of rapid digestion of information, structuring of data and information, you build incredible databases. So sales comp database, lease comp database, that's second to none in single tenant retail. So I entered this role. My role as president was really, how do I build these efficiencies? How do I bring the right people in? How do we have the right tools? What's the right process? In fact, in the early days, we brought in a systems engineer from Amazon who helped us break all of our processes down to their fundamental parts and then put it back together, right? And so we're doing that at Stablewood. It was interesting and fun. And we were seeing more and more opportunities to automate, to create efficiencies, to allow our people to lift up some and focus on making investment decisions and managing relationships. And large language models hit the scene. And that unlocked all sorts of new opportunities. And we quickly realized these opportunities far exceeded any of the use cases that we had at Stablewood. And so a moment came about a year ago where we all sat around a table. We looked at each other and we said, hey, this concept of the digital coworker has application well beyond what we're doing. Perhaps we should explore making that come to life. And from that, I lifted out of Stablewood. I was ultimately the one who is tapped to bring this to fruition. The nature of what we're doing required that this thing, CRE Agents, be wholly independent from Stablewood. Although Stablewood stays in as a minority owner and a stakeholder, this is a wholly independent entity that has this mandate, this mission to equip the people of our industry with the tools that they need to create those max efficiencies, automations, if you will. And we can get into, Omar, like more detail what that actually means in practice, but in context, that's the mission. It's free people up so that they can focus on really what matters.
Who are those people and what types of scopes might they have?
Yeah. So what we're building is a platform. So the technical term for what we're building is a vertical AI agentic platform for commercial real estate. So the vertical relates to we are building capabilities that are specific to our industry. Okay. AI means generative artificial intelligence that can perform tasks, that can produce deliverables, that can complete end-to-end projects. A platform, though, and I think this is an important point, is we're not solving one specific problem, like we're not parsing a Yardi rent roll. Although the platform, we absolutely can parse a Yardi rent roll. What we're doing is we're building a platform that can then be used to train a digital coworker to really perform any repetitive task in our industry. And the trainers may be us, and certainly early on they'll be us, but we envision that over time, companies will have their own people internally who have the ability, or they'll partner with us to have people who have the ability to train a digital coworker to perform those repetitive tasks for their organization. That's the platform piece of it. So it's really a focus on the tool that multiplies someone's output rather than on some bespoke workflow that has an application in a very specific place, like a broker opinion of value, right? We're not focusing purely on that, although the platform absolutely we will train digital coworkers to perform those sorts of workflows.
I can see this really being a holistic platform, right? And solving for the entire real estate team within an org or the entire real estate firm. Is there an ideal customer that you're focused in, at least in the early stages, and then planning on expanding and covering other roles and catering to the other parts of the organization?
So we're sitting April, May of 2025, depending on when this officially launches. You and I are talking here middle of April 2025. And I think that's important, by the way, because AI is moving so fast.
Yeah.
That knowing the time period of this conversation is valuable. So sitting today, where we are in terms of build is we have a select group of, call them early access customers that we're working with. And they've been hand selected because they have high impact, high feasibility problems that our digital coworker can solve. Now let's get into what that actually means. So in order for a digital coworker, when I say digital coworker, this is essentially a team of AI agents. We have an orchestrating agent, and then we have all these sub agents, and they work together as a team in order to perform a task. From the user standpoint, we simplify it. We say you have a digital coworker. You interact with that digital coworker through traditional communication mediums. So it may be you communicate with them through Teams, through Slack, through email. Over time, there will be a voice. There might even be a video. Really, any traditional communication medium that you use as a team to interact with one another, you would also interact with this digital coworker, right? And that digital coworker, its ability to perform work for you is the same as, say, if you had an intern that arrived tomorrow. And that intern, you asked them to perform a quarterly evaluation. What would that intern need in order to perform that task? Well, they would need the data. So they need a property with the financial statements for that property such that they can perform that task. They're going to need likely the previous quarter's quarterly evaluation because that will speed up their process. They're going to take that and they're going to update the quarterly evaluation based on the previous quarter, what's happening with the property today, right? They're going to have to be able to use the tools that relate to those financial statements and relate to the previous quarterly evaluation. So they need to be able to open up a PDF probably to read the financial statements. They're probably going to need a browser so that you can browse for certain information. They probably are going to need to have an Argus license so they can log in and pull down that Argus file and maybe export it to Excel, or maybe they do it in Argus, right? They may or may not need a Yardi license. Minimum, they need an understanding of how to deal with, a Yardi rent roll export. So let's imagine that this property has some Yardi rent roll. And in performing that quarterly valuation, they're going to look at an income statement, a T1, a T3, a T12. They're going to look at the rent roll, where occupancy's gone, where rents have gone. They'll probably pull down some market reports. Maybe they pull down comps for CompStack. So all of those it's data, it's tools. And then on top of that, that intern actually has to have some training. Okay, so the intern may be the smartest intern in the world, IQ of 180, and yet it's never done a quarterly evaluation. Until you teach that intern to do that thing, it's going to sit there at the desk until you give it the tools, the data, and the knowledge, right? Think of a digital coworker exactly the same way. So our role is to build a platform such that we can arm the digital coworker with all the tools that are needed to perform the bespoke tasks specific to our industry. That's number one. The second is to arm it with the knowledge, both the base knowledge. So for instance, our digital coworker comes out of the box with essentially a master's degree in real estate. It will take the ACRE Accelerator program. So it has that base knowledge. And then as it enters a company, it will probably be armed with, and this is up to the company, some knowledge specific to that company, best practices, some rules of thumb, maybe an org chart, maybe an understanding of their portfolio and their strategies, right? That's like the base knowledge. So that intern, or in our context, that digital coworker shows up, then they get that base knowledge. And then as they perform work, so we'll come back to this quarterly evaluation. Let's imagine that digital coworker arrives, CRE agents has already taught it how to do a typical quarterly evaluation and how to use the tools and how to access the data that it needs to perform that project. And then the company customizes it specific to their process. And then the digital coworker goes to work and they do one of them. And every time they do one, it has memory. And it stores that memory and it learns from that. And then it does it a second time. And then maybe it interacts with you, Omar. Maybe you're its asset manager. And maybe there's an asset management analyst who's actually the human in the loop, ensuring that the quality of the output from the digital coworker meets the expectations of the firm. And as that digital coworker gets input, as it does more tasks and its memory improves, it gets better and better and better. And whether this is 5 years or 10 years from now, you can imagine a day where these highly repetitive tasks that right now you and I perform will be performed by our digital coworker. And we'll lift up one layer and we'll manage. We'll still, in our industry, you need a human in the loop. Just that's the nature, the magnitude of the decisions we meet. You need a human in the loop, but we'll lift up some. And then so instead of planting trees at a micro level, we're seeing the forest growing and we're directing the direction in which the forest grows. I hope that gives kind of an overview of how a vertical AI agentic platform for real estate looks like and what we're tackling here at CRE Agents.
It absolutely does. And I honestly am very excited myself because I could see this very much speeding up the industry, right? I get that there are big decisions still might take some time to discuss and the human is still in the loop, but you know, freeing up time of whether it's data gathering or anything that if there's a process to, it can really expedite getting to that decision point. But what one of the things that popped up when you were discussing this is it combines really two big sources of information and expertise. You have the real estate side of understanding what process you have to take when, you know, either doing a quarterly valuation or looking at a new deal. But then there's also the tech side. Can you talk a bit about the founding team? Is it tech heavy? Is it real estate heavy or a mix of both, given the problem you're solving for?
Yeah, great question. And I should have invited my CTO and co-founder on, Gert Stahl. So Gert, he's my co-founder here at CRE Agents. He built the platform at Stablewood. He has been in prop tech since before it was even a word. He's been coding since he was a kid. His love is to write code, or at least see code be written, because in this day, most code nowadays is written by AI. What makes him unique is that he's not just a software developer, he also understands business. He has an MBA from the University of Miami, undergrad from University of Sheffield in the UK. And for a period of time, he was the head of the Estonian investment agency. And he just traveled all over the world pitching Estonia as a place for foreign investment. And so he understands the investment side as well as the business side, as well as he understands the technical side. As he entered prop tech 15 years ago and began to play with things like, hey, I wonder if I could value every single family property in the country on a cap rate basis rather than on a comparative analysis basis. That was one of his first projects he tackled. He just understands both the business side and the technical side better than anyone. So we have our senior engineer who also helped build the Stablewood platform and is second to none in terms of his capability. And then we continue to grow. So we're out hiring a front-end engineer and a back-end engineer to join that team. We call them builders, but in essence, they're the people that train the digital coworker to perform various tasks. So we have one joining us in May. We're out looking for a second. The team continues to grow. But from a technical side, we've got Gert as my co-founder and just phenomenal at what he does.
And you recently launched CRE Agents. Have you raised a round or is this, are you kind of bootstrapping it and self-funding?
Yeah, at this point, the initial stakeholders of CRE Agents are funding our stage right now. And the stage is we're working with early access customers We want to get to a product that has broader application beyond that group. Now, that group will expand this summer. So we have a 6-7 company group right now that will expand to 2 or 3 times that by summer. Our hope is that by end of this year or going into 2026, we're at a stage where we can go broader than that. And there is intense interest. So for those who are listening that I know would love to get access to the platform, it is coming soon. But you have to be methodical about it. You have to get it right. The workflows are incredibly important, mean more in our industry than they do in other places. And so we really are taking it at the right pace, I think. But to wrap up the question around like how we're funding, we will go out to an external funding round at some point this year. And that round will get us the momentum to fully go to market.
And shifting beyond this year and to your kind of long-term vision for CRE agents, where do you see it growing over the next kind of 3-5 years? I could see there being really a lot of appetite from, it sounds like you're solving problem pretty much the entire real estate ecosystem would be interested in. But ultimately, where do you want to push this over the mid to long term?
One of the advantages I've had is I have seen most corners of the industry, both in terms of the roles I played from brokerage to acquisitions to development. Even as an intern, I spent time in an asset management team. I was an investment manager at the real estate investment arm of Northwestern Mutual. As an investment manager, you actually live the entire investment life cycle of a deal from sourcing all the way through exit. On top of that, with ACRE, we've trained now over 12,000 incoming analysts into every possible role. On top of that, we have 2 million people that go to ACRE, the Adventures in CRE website every year. Those are hundreds, if not thousands, of interactions that I have every year with people across the industry. I say all that because it gives me a unique lens into the problems of our industry and what's solvable today with the current technology and where in advancements in technology need to come in order to solve other problems. As such, our vision is that there will be a CRE agent's digital coworker in every real estate firm in the world at some point. And that a firm, if they don't, they'll fall behind or lose. Because what your people should be doing is pushing the business forward, making investment decisions, managing relationships. In a revenue-driven model like brokerage, they should be out there bringing in new clients, not 10 keying in values from a PDF into an Excel file or into Argus boxes or searching through name the data source to pull down a report to then parse through a 20-page report to grab three attributes that matter in order to derive a vacancy factor assumption in a broker opinion of value, right? Those sorts of tasks. Our vision is that a CRE agent's digital coworkers in every firm in the world at some point of contributing value and multiplying the capability of every individual in that firm by 5 to 100x, if not more than that.
Often heard real estate being described as, and I think I've described it myself, as it's a relationship business. Do you think that would change that dynamic in any way?
I think it changes the skills that one needs when they start in the industry, right? So right now, the traditional path, at least into the institutional side of the business. When I say the business, I'm generally talking about the investment side, although to some extent, this also applies to the advisory brokerage side of the business. Technical skills, right? So what we tell our people who go through our program at ACRE, and this still absolutely applies today, but it's like, hey, the most important thing is you need to have these technical skills. Where that changes is that those technical skills still apply in the same way that when you learn algebra, you don't learn it with a calculator, you learn it on paper, and then you use a calculator that once you've mastered algebra. In the same way, you need to understand how cash flows in real estate work, for instance. And you need to understand what a solid DCF looks like because you're the manager of that thing. That's the difference. You're no longer digging holes with shovels. You've got an autonomous shovel digging holes for you. You still need to know where to dig, how deep to dig, what safety equipment to put in that trench if you're digging a trench, such that the trench doesn't fall in, right? on the technical side, what you need to know changes in some way. Certainly what you do changes, but equally as important are those soft skills. When you bring a digital entity in, they start taking over these highly repetitive tasks, people start contributing greater value. And in our industry, value is about relationships and investment decisions and strategic thinking, which relates to investment decisions. So our analysts at a Stablewood, although we didn't call them analysts, had 10 times the number of broker interactions that they otherwise would have been in a traditional real estate shop that didn't have a digital coworker. So they spent far more time on the phone than making actually investment decisions. So our analysts at Stablewood would make micro investment decisions. The very first decision is, do we pass on a deal or do we select a deal? And that's made by an analyst level position, where in a traditional shop, the analyst would do all the work and generally kick that up to their director, who would say, yeah, let's spend some more time on this. And there may not even be a formal, yes, let's spend more time or not. It's more like, oh, that kind of looks interesting. Could you do this or could you do that? But the people start adding value earlier in their career and earlier in the process. And what it does is it creates incredible, I keep bringing up like this multiplier effect concept. But the best way to think about it is you've got a team like Stablewood, and let's take their single tenant retail acquisition team. It's a team of 2.5, underwriting 1,000 deals a month. They could acquire 10 assets a month with a fairly small team. And that team, what they focus on is making investment decisions and managing relationships.
So, I mean, that's a crazy multiplier effect. I wouldn't say that that is seen across the industry and across firms. So commercial real estate does use technology, but it clearly is behind some other industries. It's not used widespread across the industry. How would you describe the current state of CRE technology? And like, what's kind of holding the industry back?
So what's holding the industry back is our information is highly unstructured. It is challenging to find. Traditionally, you gain your edge in real estate through the asynchronous nature of information in our industry. I mean, in fact, when I started my career, if you were the best apartment acquisition professional in a relatively small or even mid-sized market, you could even take Nashville, which is crazy to think, like 25 years ago. Nashville was not an institutional market. If you had knowledge about apartments in Nashville, you had an incredible edge because there was minimal data around most markets, right? So the main issue has been actually around information. That continues to be a challenge and an issue. If you think about ultimately what we do, whether you're a broker and you're securing a listing or you're a capital markets broker and you're connecting a borrower with a capital source, or you're on the investment side and you're connecting capital with a prospective investment, at the end of the day, there's a decision that has to be made. And that decision is made based on some aggregation of information. And that information is so hard to track down and to organize. Right now, the unifier of that information are people. And there's been tools, when we talk about prop tech, most of prop tech are tools in order to solve pieces of this. Some of the information is coming out of a software solution that I organize my accounting books in. And I need that information to be organized in a way that I can summarize it for some other step. And so someone builds a tool that makes that a little faster, makes that a little bit more efficient. And love that. That's great. But the problem, if you think about it, is if you truly wanted the world that we're envisioning, you still have a person that is unifying all this information. And that poor person sitting there all day long, passing information down, is synonymous with the poor analysts. And all of us have been in the seat where you get a 35-page rent roll in PDF that has been scanned so that the values, even with PDF OCR, the values don't make any sense. And you spend 3 hours manually keying in values so that you can have clean data that you can then summarize into a unit mix table that can then go into name the workflow. That's what we are solving. It's putting the person in the chair that actually passes the information along from, say, that tool that brought the rent roll in and organized it a little bit. But that tool, that prop tech tool, ended there. And it now needs to pass over to these other things. And right now, a person is basically unifying all of these tools, all this information. We'd like to put a digital entity in to unify that information and let us lift up and focus on, frankly, what we enjoy doing better anyway.
That would have saved me many weeks of my earlier life. So do you think that there's a significant amount of tech debt at a lot of firms? Is there anything internal that would prevent companies from really getting from what their process is today to kind of this CRE agent's envisioned future?
Yeah, no, I love this question. And it's not just tech debt, it's also legacy debt. Legacy systems, legacy processes, systems and processes that made a lot of sense when they were implemented 15 years ago or 20 years ago. I spent a fair number of years at Northwestern Mutual, some of the best investors in the country. Arguably, the oldest institutional investor in commercial real estate in the United States. Okay. There's immense legacy debt, if you will. And that's not for lack of trying. It's just some process that worked in 1995 got implemented. And it's like, if it's not broke, why fix it? Even if it's less efficient. And that's no knock on NML. That relates to every organization in our industry. Even a young firm. Let's take a firm that's 5 years old. What's happened in the last 5 years? A lot. They probably, even if they're tech forward, they probably built a software platform solution. We're not software, by the way. So I think this is an important distinction, and it gets to your question. One of our visions is a zero friction adoption. That's why our front end is not a dashboard like you would if this was software. Our front end, and when I say front end, it's like how you interact with this thing, is through the traditional communication mediums that you and I use. So if your firm uses Teams, the digital coworker would interact with you through Teams. It would be another member on Teams. If you use Slack, if you're a brokerage shop and you don't use any of those and you use text, if you're overseas, many of our customers will be outside the United States. You might use WhatsApp. That might be your communication medium to your team. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I mean, that might be the most efficient way for you. But if we arrive with a software solution, now what we suggest is that you have to change the way you work. And our view is that while that might be optimal, that's not realistic. And so it's driving friction of adoption to zero. And the first is through communication. The second is around, okay, the reason it's a platform. And when I say a platform, what that means is we can really almost build anything on it. And we extends to our customers. Our customers could build almost anything on it. And so if you have a process that you built in 1995 that connects to some old database and uses some Excel file, you could actually build that process. You could automate that process with all those outdated systems using our platform. It might not be optimal, but sometimes if it's not broke, why fix it? You train the digital coworker to work within the confines of your existing process. And then over time, right? Over time, in fact, you could ask the digital coworker, how might you optimize this? And over time, the digital coworker will get better and better such that it will be able to build processes for you and help you optimize. But yeah, our vision, Omar, again, this comes from understanding the problems of the industry, understanding legacy, understanding technical debt, being realist, and saying we need to deliver a solution that does not require intense friction that all other software solutions require.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been a real hurdle where even if folks have seen or just played around with some of the AI that's available and they've been impressed by it, I can see them almost saying, well, that's almost futuristic, so I'm not going to learn it now. But I actually think that future really is not all that far. And I think it's going to be here way sooner than we think. You know, you've spent a lot of your time giving advice. Is there any advice that you would give now to folks in the industry or thinking about entering the industry in terms of what they should be paying attention to for technology and positioning themselves for the future?
Yeah, let me offer some philosophical advice. I teased this a little bit earlier in our conversation, and that's about like the value of a minute. In the context of your career, make every minute count. And some of that relates to the skills that you gain so that you can maximize every minute. Some of it relates to you're far more valuable to your employer or to your investors or to your partners, depending on what role you're playing, if you maximize your time. Look, we have some finite time here. None of us know exactly how long it is. And the older you get, the more valuable every minute becomes. And I think it's Warren Buffett kind of described it as a graph where the value of a dollar becomes less and less as the older you get, and the value of a minute becomes more and more. And, you know, for him now, a multi-hundred billionaire into his 90s, I don't think a dollar is worth a whole lot of anything to him. So this philosophy actually came up when I was a land broker, believe it or not. And I met this landowner who was in their 90s, who had this incredibly expensive piece of property and very poor farmer and lived in this broken down hut, but was happy as can be. His wife had passed away and we couldn't get a deal done. There was not a number that this man would take to sell his farm. And where it came out was he's like, Spencer, I don't want to spend the last year of my life negotiating the sale of my farm. That sounds like too much stress, right? And that's like, it hit me. So again, the advice is, when you start thinking in that way, you treat every minute slightly differently. You spend your time learning skills that will maximize the value of every minute you have. And hopefully you'll appreciate the time. Some of it also comes to exercise, right? It's like, how can I increase the number of minutes I have? And a lot of it just come, hey, you know, if I commit in 30 minutes, five times a week, I'm going to extend that. And now I've all of a sudden increased my AUM, right? My proverbial AUM. So that's the first thing. Call that philosophical advice. But I really hope, especially the younger people in the industry, you take it to heart. The second, like more practical now, but this relates to the first. So if you are in college right now, you better know every single AI multiplier, meaning every tool that exists out there that will multiply your output. You better know every one of them. Even if you can't imagine a scenario in your job where you might possibly use it, tinker with it. Now, the beauty of AI today is you can learn tools so much faster than you could before. So for instance, I'm building right now for our digital coworker a proprietary tool. And the reason why it's a proprietary tool is because the tool doesn't exist out there. And we know that it's needed. And so I want to build a tool. And the tool is a combination of a back end and a front end. By the way, I have no coding experience, and I didn't want to put this on GERT, but it's something I needed in order to complete one of the repetitive workflows that I'm training this digital coworker to perform for one of our early access customers. And so I needed to build this tool. And so I always have ChatGPT up. Everything I do, I think, okay, how can, generally ChatGPT is like my assistant. But then there are other AI tools I use. So V0 I use to build my front end, and Replit I use to build my back end. I want to go into real estate private equity. Like, what does V0 have anything to do with it? Or what is Replit? It's like, look, I spent 4 hours and I built this tool that can do something that a few years ago would have been several million dollars of a VC raise and a team of engineers. I did in an afternoon, A, because I understood the requirements, meaning I knew what I was building because I'm a practitioner and I understand the code and I understand the architecture. But if you're in college, you should be doing those sorts of things. You ought to be able to fine tune a generative model. And that doesn't have to be a large language model. Go fine tune a text to image model on your face. Use Replicate and fine tune a Flux One model on your face so that you can produce professional headshots of yourself. That's the advice for those that are in college. You want to know every single tool. And by the way, when you get that first job, everyone's going to expect you to know all this stuff. because you're the young whippersnapper who's joined the firm, and they expect you to know all this stuff because they're too busy doing deals to spend time fine-tuning a Flux One model, right? Now, if you are into the industry and you're sitting there looking at like, A, is this going to take my job? Right, that's the first concern. Then you calm yourself down. You go, okay, well, I have lots of skills that AI will never be able to do well. And that's absolutely true. But how can I now use this to multiply? For those who are in the industry, start thinking about, okay, what do I do every day? And anytime you perform a task, it could be something like emailing your equity partner or reviewing a income statement or reading through a lease, whatever it may be. If you think about it, every single moment of every day, you're doing something. Every time you do something, you should ask yourself, is there an AI tool that can help me do this better? Either more accurate, faster, or more enjoyable. And in many cases, there aren't. That's where CRE Agents comes in. We're trying to build like those AI multipliers for our industry. But in a lot of cases, there are. If you just simply have this mindset, it's called reflexive AI usage. That is going to be the baseline expectation for every one of us in our industry at some point. If you reflexively ask yourself, can AI help me with this? And if so, how? And what tool out there might be able to help me with this? If you have that mindset, you are going to have an edge, whether as a firm, whether as an individual, and if nothing else, you'll survive. More likely, you're going to be ahead. You're going to have an edge. So anyway, that would be, Omar, the advice I'd give.
I love that. I have one more question, which is we like to ask all our guests the same question. If you could snap your fingers and have any change to the industry come true, what would that be?
We would have a unified architecture we would have a standard architecture for how we structure data.
I love that.
If I could snap my finger and go, that attribute is characterized this way and everyone uses that same architecture, that would be my dream.
Excellent answer. Spencer, thank you so much for being with us. I think that's all the time we have. And for our listeners, thank you for tuning in for the CRE Exchange.
Thank you for listening to the CRE Exchange podcast powered by Altus Group. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star review and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. This episode is brought to you by Altus Group, a global leader in asset and fund intelligence for commercial real estate. At Altus, we bring together capabilities across technology, analytics, valuations, tax, and development advisory services. We are guided by bold thinking, integrity, and inclusivity, partnering with CRE professionals to maximize opportunities with exceptional service experience. Find out more at altusgroup.com.